Amen. I don't know about you, but I am so glad of the way that God loves us. Because I know me, and I know how unlovable I am sometimes. And if you're like me, you probably know the same thing about yourself. But He chooses to love us regardless. Such an awesome thing. Awesome thing. Well, again, I'm not Jay, and even though he's here, we had a conversation, and since I got bumped last week because of the weather, he thought it'd be a good thing for me to share, and I'm happy to do so, because I believe God has some things that he wants us to learn together and to share together, and some of these things may be things that we know or have known and may have forgotten for one reason or another, but God has his way. You know, it's always surprising. I don't know why it's surprising. I don't know why I'm surprised. Maybe you're not. But I'm always surprised when God does something really cool or he really lines up some things. And it just seems like I go, wow, that's pretty cool. And I can hear God in the back of my mind going, really? You're surprised? I'm God, right? You remember that? But it, sometimes we're surprised when God does something amazing. And that's the case here. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I almost said last week, a couple of weeks ago, Chad shared from his heart about spiritual gifts, and he did a fantastic job with that, talking about what they are. We had some definitions. We talked about what some of those spiritual gifts are, how to find them, how to look for them in your life, how to prayerfully work through that and sort through that and try out some ministries and see what God is doing. Get some confirmation from some Christian brothers that can speak to your heart and speak about what is true about you, and talked about what they are for, how to use them. They are, of course, used to be used in the body, in the church, for ministry together, for us in the church. And, of course, all the while, God had been placing on my heart something that really is a follow-up to that, and I talked to Chad, made sure it was okay that I did something that was kind of along the same line. I didn't want him to think that I was stepping on his toes. He said, no, go, it's good. But this idea of you belong, and by the way, I'm looking forward to hearing some of those stories, Jay, about what God is doing among the Buchloat missionaries and the consult down there in Mindoro and Buchloat Coffee. But this idea of you belong, you know, we sometimes think that we're on an island. We sometimes think that maybe we don't matter. Maybe that we don't fit. Maybe that you know, we talk about those spiritual gifts and, well, maybe I don't have one, or maybe mine is no big deal and I don't need to be involved. All sorts of things go through our minds. And you know, those thoughts come from the enemy. But I want to talk about today the fact that you belong. Whether or not you feel it, whether or not you see it, whether or not it makes sense to you, you belong because God has said you belong. And he's the ultimate master of what is true and what is not true, right? God has said you belong. So one of the first things that we want to talk about is that spiritual gift. We talked about those a couple weeks ago. That spiritual gift that God has given you. See, that is underlined. God has given you. That spiritual gift that God has given you has a place in the fellowship here at Potter's House. A very specific place. You belong. We're going to talk about that this morning. We're going to discover the different ways that we belong. If you have your Bible on your phone or on a tablet, or maybe one of those weird hard copy Bibles, I'm not sure what that is, that's got paper and pages and things, you can follow along. Some of the scriptures I'll have on the screen, some I won't, but the first scripture that we want to look at together is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to start with verse 4 of that, and we're going to highlight a few verses, and those verses will be up on the screen. 1 Corinthians 12 is another one of those passages that talks about those spiritual gifts that Chad mentioned a couple of weeks ago. In 1 Corinthians 12, starting in the fourth verse, God's word says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. And of course, we know that Spirit is the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are three in one. We have learned that. We know that's true. The same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, different ways that we can serve, different things that can be done, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. And then verse 7 in that chapter says, now to each one, not some, not a few, not just the elders, not just the teachers, not just the leaders, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. And here's that phrase, Chad talked about it a couple weeks ago, for the common good, for the good of the church, for the good of the body of Christ. Each one has been given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So all these, if we jump down to verse 11 of chapter 12, all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. One body with many members. You know, our bodies have so many parts, and this chapter goes on to talk about the different body parts and how they differ, and they have different functions, but yet they're part of the one body. For instance, stay with me, this is kind of weird, but if I wanted to pick up a concrete block that was lying here, I probably would not choose to use my nose to do that, right? Be kind of dumb. Although I've seen people with piercings hook things to them and pull them. I'm not into that, just so you know. But my nose is not a good tool to pick up a concrete block, is it? It's not going to function. But my hands would be the perfect tool to pick up that concrete block if my back would cooperate. So that's a great thing for my hands. But if somebody was cooking one of my favorite dishes, my hands would be a horrible tool to smell what that was. It wouldn't work, right? But yet my nose is the perfect tool for that. That's what this chapter talks about, how our the different parts of the body, the different functions, the different gifts, the different people have different functions. They're not all the same, yet it's part of the same body. The foot can't say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong. And the ear can't say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body. But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. God has placed the parts in the body. God is pretty good at doing things. We've established that over our studies over the years. He has got a plan, and He's working that plan, and He has placed each of us here as a part of that plan. It's not a coincidence. It's not happenstance. It's not an accident. He's placed everyone just as He wanted them to be. And then verse 27 of chapter 12, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Do you see this theme? Each one of you, everyone has been given a gift. Each one of you is a part of it. You belong. You belong. This passage reminds me of that song that we sometimes sing called City on a Hill. You know, there's that part in the song that talks about the different types of people that live in the city, how the soldiers thought the poets were too weak and the singers thought the dancers, whatever. There were different parts, but yet the point of the song is God has placed those all together, because sometimes we need the soldier, sometimes we need the dancer, sometimes we need the rich, sometimes we need the poor, sometimes we need the singer. All those different gifts, all those different parts, all those different things are God's plan. He has placed each one. You're the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. So, we belong to God. We belong to God. You know, we've been studying Ephesians together, and I am not going to jump in and steal any thunder from any of that. But we've been talking about Ephesians and what God has said to us. And one of the things that jumped out to me was in that first chapter of Ephesians, and we're still in the first chapter of Ephesians, by the way. So we're taking our time to really dig in and get the meat of that. But Ephesians 1, chapter 3 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing." We already have everything we need. We've been giving those spiritual blessings from God. He's already blessed us. It's past tense. It's done. "For he chose us in him." I love this. "He chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves." He chose us. Before the foundation of the world, he chose us. And our response to that, of course, is praise. And we learned that as we studied that passage. That's our response, to praise the fact that he chose us to belong to himself. And by the way, this choosing is not like maybe the choosing that happened when you were a kid in gym class and maybe you got picked last. This is not that. This is not that. He chose you first. He chose you. You belong to him. He chose you. Back when we studied Romans, there were so many things that Romans taught us and so many things that we learned as we studied that. But one of the things that Romans laid out for us clearly was the difference between the law and the gospel, and how the law was given so basically we could see that we can't uphold the law, that we can't follow the law. No one can. And then Christ sent his son, who obeyed the law perfectly, lived the perfect life, a sinless life, and died on the cross for our sin, and was raised 3 days later. In fact, that's the gospel. That statement right there is the gospel. I'm supposed to die for my sin, but Christ died for my sin and rose again 3 days later. And if we trust that, if we believe that, then we're his child. We belong to him. We're his children. Romans 7:4 says, "So, my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God." Belong to another. Of course, that another that we're belonging to is him. We belong to God, to Christ who was raised from the dead. And that last phrase is important as well. Again, it finishes the thought of those other passages that talk about spiritual gifts and what they're for, in order that we might bear fruit for God. We belong to God. We belong to him. You belong to God. And we also belong to each other. You know, that might seem obvious as we talk about a body being one. My little pinky belongs to me, and my kneecap belongs to me, and my toes belong to me, and we belong to each other. That's something to also remember and not forget. We belong to God. It's clearly established. He chose us. We belong to him, and we belong to each other. Look at this passage in Romans. "Just as each of you has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body," and here's the phrase, "and each member belongs to all the others." This chapter in Romans, chapter 12, talks about our response to all that God has given. through the first chapters of Romans, the story, the plan is laid out. God's grace, God's mercy, God's plan for our salvation, the mercy that he has given us. And chapter 12 starts by saying, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice is just that. It's not killing yourself on an altar to God. It's giving your life to Christ, sacrificing your life to him, living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Verse 2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Don't be like the world. Don't follow the world's patterns. Don't think like the world thinks. Don't think about getting stuff and the American dream. I'm not saying those are bad things necessarily, but that's not our pattern. Don't conform to that. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be changed, be transformed by changing the way you think. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. We'll understand clearly, more clearly, what that spiritual gift is, what God wants to do in our lives and hearts, what he wants to do with the gifts he's given us, what he wants to do in the world around us, and what part we play in that. For by grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought. We need to remain humble, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. And then these two verses, just as each of us has one body with many members, and those members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. See, when you think about us as a body, as different parts functioning together, I think it's important for us to see the big picture. And part of the big picture is, I believe, is this. God is in the process of building something beautiful here at Potter's House. He really is. I believe that with all my heart. And you're an important part of that. I also believe that with all my heart. See, it's not happenstance. It's not an accident. You're not randomly here. This is part of God's plan. God wants to build something beautiful. In fact, he's in the process of doing it right now. See, God's plan is eternal. It's not just today or planning for Tuesday of this week. God's plan has been in place from before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1, he chose us before the foundations of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. His plan has gone on since before creation and will continue into eternity. He's building something beautiful here. He has plans like this all over the world. We get to be part of his plan here to affect each other, to affect this community, to affect the world. Our mission statement talks about making disciples who make disciples here and around the world. You have an important part of that. Yeah, you. Whether you feel it or not, whether you can see it or not, whether it makes sense to you or not, you're part of the beautiful thing that God wants to do here. You belong to God's plan. You're part of the team. You're a puzzle piece in the plan. So God is putting together this living mosaic of people who are choosing to follow him and choosing to do his will, choosing to fit in where he's placed them. I mean, there's so many different Bible characters that we can look to that were chosen for such a time as this. I think of Queen Esther, who, do yourself a favor this afternoon and read the book of Esther. It's a short read. It won't take you very long, but it's an amazing story, a great example of someone who God placed in a certain place and time, seemingly through a bunch of random circumstances. A woman whose parents died, raised by her cousin, became queen of this foreign leadership in order that she could save the Jewish nation. Her cousin even encouraged her one time when she had doubt in the middle of the story that he said, who knows that maybe you have been chosen for such a time as this. And I believe that speaks to all of us. Who knows that God may have placed you here in our number for such a time as this. I don't know what that means in your life, but I think we ought to try to discover that together and work together to see what God wants to do. If we look at creation, I mean, God has always had a plan. This is our Milky Way galaxy. It looks rather small there, but in reality, it's beyond the scope of anything we can really wrap our head around. If you're in a dark place at night around here, and it's clear, you can see the part of the Milky Way that's nearest. It looks like a path of spilled milk in the sky. That's why it's called the Milky Way. There's this cluster of stars that you can see striped across the sky together. It's massive. And you see the little arrow there. It says, you are here. Well, you can't even see the point of the arrow. But at the tip of the point of that arrow is our solar system. In this photo, it's so small that you can't even see it. But it includes our sun and all the planets and, of course, Earth that we live on. Massive. Beautiful. Beyond the scope of imagination. Complex and vast. I mean, the order that our solar system exhibits. I mean, the way our planet dances around the sun and the way the moon dances around our planet. I mean, even the distance our planet is from the sun. If it were closer or further away, we'd either burn up or freeze. But yet we're just the right distance from the sun to enjoy moderate temperatures. Sometimes colder in Mars than we would like, but we're placed in the right spot. And our moon, we can calculate our solar, our tide tables for years because of the precision of how God has placed all these things together. And remember back in Genesis, that little tiny phrase, I love it. Now Jay talks about it sometimes too. It's almost like an aside after in the middle of God's creation is, oh, and he made the stars too. I mean, look at that. He made the stars too. No big deal. That God with all that power has a plan. And his plan has order. This is a model of a carbon atom. You may not like science, but bear with us for just a couple of minutes here. This is, besides water, we're like 90% water, our bodies. But the other larger percentage of element is carbon. And this is what a carbon atom looks like. Notice the order. And you see any similarity there between the solar system and that carbon atom? God has a plan. God has a precise plan, an ordered plan, a plan that includes precision and beauty. Look what the psalmist said, 139, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Beautiful, beautiful words about God's love and creation for us. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Verse 15 says, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days were ordained for me, were written in your book before one of them came to be. Again, there's this thought of before we were, God knew us. And God has a plan. All the days ordained for me, God has a plan for me. He has a plan for you. God is the ultimate master of details. From the vast, from the ginormous, more than we can fathom universe, to the minutest detail. He is the ultimate master of details. Time for a little more science. So if you hate science, don't zone out, please. This is pretty cool. An example of that detail, there is a protein in all humans and animals that is called laminin. You probably haven't heard of it, and if you have, it's maybe because you're a biologist or a doctor. But laminin is a protein that exists in our bodies, and it's basically like a glue that holds cells together, connective tissue together. It helps the cells hold our organs together, our skin together. All those things are partially held together with this laminin. And the structure of laminin is very important for its function. Well, let me just show you a picture of what laminin looks like. Whoops, sorry about that. That's an electron microscope photo of laminin. Now, it may not look like much right here because it's kind of hard to get a clear picture when you're magnifying that deep, but let me show you a clearer picture of the structure of laminin. It look familiar? Now, some people would say, and maybe rightly so, that it's jumping to a conclusion that this thing happens to be in the shape of a cross. And maybe we shouldn't put too much stock in that, but you know, I kind of tend to believe that it's just like God to do something like that. Just like God to make one of the building blocks of our bodies in the shape of a cross. God has always had a plan. That plan includes each one of us. God is building something beautiful here at Potter's House. And you're an important part of it. Like pieces of the puzzle, our gifts, talents, personality are all part of God's perfect plan. Are we perfect? Of course not. Not at all, not even close. Never will be, this side of heaven. But God's plan is perfect. God's plan is good, and it always will be. His plan has gone on from eternity past to eternity forward. And he wants you to be a part of that. You are an important part of what God is doing here. You belong. Whether you feel like it, whether you see it in the mirror when you look at yourself, whether you look at your history and feel it or not, whether you look at the things you've done, when you look at where you are today, whether or not any of those things make sense to you, you belong. We belong. You belong to God. We belong to each other. We belong to God's plan. So, can we agree to join together to figure out what those things are? Maybe you're one of those people that kind of know where God has put you on the path, and he speaks to you clearly, and you know where you're going, and you know what's up for you and his plan for you. That's fantastic. That's awesome. If you're one of those people, grab the hand of somebody who may be unsure and say, come on, let's figure this out together. If you're one of the people that kind of feels like you don't belong or you don't fit or I don't know what I'm supposed to do, I don't know why I'm here, join hands. Come together. Let's figure this out together. Let's work together. And we can do that either by joining a small group if we're not, or digging in deeper to that small group, doing life together. Praying, spending time in God's Word, getting to know God more. That's one of the best ways we can get to know God, by the way, is to dig into His Word, to really dig in deep. And maybe you want to sacrifice a little bit and get up early on a Thursday morning, starting the 28th of this month, and dig in about studying God's Word a little deeper. Because if you can dig deeper into God's Word, you can get to know Him better. It's where he shows himself, where we learn about him. And as we learn about him, he shows us about ourselves as well. maybe spending more time in prayer, maybe marking off a time on your day where you're just going to spend time talking to God, and maybe spend time listening. We don't do a lot of that, it seems, in this world today. We're busy with so many things, and we're making so much noise. I think the art of listening is kind of a lost art. But I promise you, if you spend some time carving out some time to be quiet and just listen to what he has to say, he'll speak. It may take some practice for you to relearn how to listen to it, but he'll speak. And he'll begin to show you what his plan is for you. And you'll get to the point where you can see where you belong. Because that's one of the things he wants to tell us the most today. You belong. You're not here by mistake. You're not a mistake. You belong. You belong to God. We belong to each other. And you belong to God's plan. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your love and your care, and your mercy, and your grace. Lord, it's really hard sometimes for us to feel like we belong. Sometimes we feel like we should be on the outside, and sometimes we feel like we are on the outside. But Lord, you've told us that we belong. You've told us that you chose us. You've told us that you created us, and you knew us before we were born, before the foundation of the world. You chose us. And Lord, we've seen in your word that you have a plan. You've always had a plan. And we've seen in your word that that plan includes us. And Lord, that amazes us. We know that you're such a powerful God. You are the only God. But you're so powerful that you could choose to do things all on your own. You don't need us, but you've chosen to use us. As broken as we are, as different as we are, Lord, we fit together. Because you've said we do. We belong because you've told us we belong. So Lord, help us as we do life together, as we share together, as we pray together, as we bear each other's burdens, as we work together. Help us see more clearly where we fit. Because Lord, we want to be a church here that is part of that beautiful thing that you're creating. We want to be people that are moving and making a difference in this community and around the world because we're hitting on all cylinders. We found where we belong, and we're jumping in with both feet to play our part. Lord, give us grace. We love you, and we thank you so much for all that you've done from eternity past and all that you're going to do. Thank you, Lord. We love you. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, our tradition here, sometimes we say, what does that make you want to do? And I guess I have a little twist on that. And from the days of teaching youth, I was a little bit more direct with the students. And I would say, sometimes say, what has God said to you? And what are you going to do about it? So with that in mind, God's got the plan. He's given us the play. So, ready?
Ready.
Amen. God bless you, Potter's House.